I was like, too long for me to read. Happy that happened for you, or sorry that happened for you. Okay.
Smiley face, sad face, question mark, thumbs up, send.
The only thing I'm jealous of you having an iPhone of is that I can't just let's play 8-ball people I don't want to talk to.
Forgot about that. Let's play 8-ball.
Let's play 8-ball. Dad, I don't think this can work out anymore. Let's play 8-ball.
Play 6 rounds.
Dad, I want a divorce. Let's play 8-ball.
Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about music news and culture that mostly matters. I'm Sean.
I'm Dan.
This is episode 232 of this fine established podcast, off of our little hiatus, off of our little break, and we got some doozies. We got some records to review. We got some opinions. We got things to be said. We have 3 records that we will review. We have Honestly Nevermind, surprise album by Drake. More on that later. We have Supernova by Nova Twins. Extreme, more on that later. And then we have In Amber by Hercules and Love Affair. And three very different albums. And lots of opinions on said records and everything. And some sprinkled news stories and all that. So for all you fine Audio Face folks. And yeah, it feels good to be back. How are you, Dan? How was Spain?
Oh, God. I'm great to be back with you, Sean. Great to be back here in the United States. Just kidding. Spain was... Spain...
You gotta get your escape, dude. Escape passport.
Yeah, Spain and the other parts of... Well, I can't even really say Europe anymore. Spain and England, where I went on my trip, were all perfectly fine. Ooh, ooh, God save the... Ooh. So everything was totally fine. It was a really great trip, and I'll definitely be talking about it more in the member section, where we're also going to do a little bit of a flippy thing here. You know, we've been doing Audio Face now 5 years now, so we're just changing up the format. From now until I decree otherwise... The main episodes are just going to be 3 album reviews and some singles. And then in the members portion, we'll do news, which will allow us to be a little bit more raunchy. And we'll do any other like bonus things, in addition to bonus albums. We don't have any bonus albums for you this week, but we did have Foles. And there's another artist you mentioned as well that released this week that we didn't have a chance to listen to.
Perfume Genius,
that's right. So those are on the bubble for us to review either in the main episode next week or in members content later. So definitely make sure you're subscribed.
Definitely want to review those records for sure.
Yeah, join.syndicate23.co to make sure you are subscribed. Pardon, Sean and I are both getting over minor colds. I for me, not COVID-related, but like... So that's what makes us a little bit more stuffy. But yeah, also make sure you're following our 2022 AF playlist. We're going to get that nice and ready for the this hot-ass summer that's about to befall all of us here. And then lastly, thank you, Peter, for mastering this episode, making it sound nice. That's Dead Music 666 on Instagram. If you're a musician who needs music to be mastered, and a lot of musicians are trying to put out work right now, so you might be looking for that, go hit them up at Dead Music Productions, Dead Music 666 on Instagram. So, with all that out of the way, all that beginning stuff, let's get into the new format. Let's just jump straight into our albums today, Sean.
No, why don't we do this? And we're going to start off with the surprise drop of Honestly Nevermind by Drake. It is 14 songs, 52 minutes long. And honestly, never mind on this review. I don't want to do this because it's pretty trash. So Dan, off to you. No, I'm joking. we have a history with Drake on this established podcast. We just, you know, Certified Lover Boy came out August of last year. And there is some decent stuff on there, and we both like it when Drake doesn't take himself seriously, you know, with Way Too Sexy, and you had some different tracks on there that blew up and that were actually decent that we didn't mind. Knife Talk with 21 Savage and a couple others that Jenny didn't mind, and I've put on some playlists here or there. But overall, past few records that he's done have just been bland, you know, it's just champagne popping his feelings, so on and so forth. But he does a bit of a pivot here with Honestly Nevermind and goes to the EDM scene, trying to make like a dance hall record, and it is by far one of the blandest projects I've heard in a very long time. It is 52 minutes of passion fruit over and over and over and over and over again with some of the worst, like TI autotune in 2010 was better sounding than this shit. Like TI's app that you could have done when Bam did Caesar with those glasses.
Oh, T-Pain, you mean?
It's T-Pain, sorry, not TI. That's TI. T-Pain app sounded better than this because it is pretty brutal. And yeah.
In the rapid review that I did on the YouTube channel that I sometimes do for albums that are just like coming out that are really big like this, I gave my first thoughts, and my first listen was like a seething hatred. Something that I haven't experienced listening to other Drake albums, because like I'm not a full Drake hater. I just think that Drake hasn't done anything creative or daring, honestly, since, you know, kind of More Life. But I think if you're honestly this too, if you're reading this, it's too late, it's kind of the most thing. But yeah, what the songs I liked in More Life, Passion Fruit, Blem, that do these sort of slower dancehall inspired, I heard someone describe it as like Jersey Club or something like that, which is a subgenre that it's like, sure, buddy. Yeah. Give New Jersey some of the scraps, whatever. I don't care anymore. But like, it's... That was a little bit of a different thing from Drake. Since then, you've gotten a very stereotypical pop rap kind of deal. And so Audioface should be the first podcast where we reward an artist for doing something different. It's different, all right. But yeah. It's just, I'll be fair to Drake. Maybe 48 minutes, because that last song with 21 Savage is like coming out of character, just being like the going into the Drake complimenting 21 Savage character, which is a whole different person in its own right. And that song sounds notably different from the rest.
Yeah.
It's still remarkably very mid on both Drake and 21 Savage's parts. Mm-hmm. I think we've heard the same from both of them before, and it's just a mediocre version of that. If I let my nigga 21 tell it, you a pussy. Spin a block twice like it ain't nowhere to park. 21 smack the back side of his head like he bark. OVO for well, we come out when it get dark. Big stepper, he came in a rose, but he left in a stretcher. Let my brother dry while I shoot. I also do think it's hilarious that on Spotify right now, other than Falling Back, it's the most listened to song out of everything on here. Falling Back comes at number two.
It tells you everything that you need to know.
Yeah, and
And
there's a lot of defenses that Drake fans are going to have. We'll get to those later. Just sit tight. But kind of like what I said in my rapid review, Falling Back is honestly a minute and a half of Drake whining and crying in that usual like whiny croon voice about like falling back. And I kept looking at my phone going, is he really doing this for a whole minute? Like, seriously? It was a lot for me. But while I clean my nose, how about you go in and explain some of this other part of the album?
Yeah, it's just, you know, the opening track of, you know, this intro. But then you have Falling Back, and it's just, literally at some point, he just goes, over and over and over again. Sounds like he's stuffed up like us right now. And I'm like, come on now, is there lyrics? Is there anything else that you're going to do? You're just going to put on the same beat? Just let it repeat, and then you're just going to whine the whole time. That's pretty much what it sounds like. Text Go Green, the second track. The one compliment I will give is the production on this record. I actually like some of it. I think it sounds decent enough for it. Like some of the dancehall inspirations and everything, which you get, I think they're sound decent enough. But the issue is you can't do that for an entire record and just... You stay at one level, right? You get at one level like this, and you just cruise. You cruise control at 62 miles an hour all the way to Palm Springs, and it's going to take you an extra hour and a half because you're not going the fast lane.
Let me disagree with you, honestly. I don't think the production is that good. I think the production is unfinished. I think if you're even going to try to go, if you're going to try to go the route like Drake is and saying, I'm doing a dance hall club inspired record. Okay, well, dance hall's produced. Dance hall songs are finished. Dance hall songs have drops that are not just you.
Oh, there's no drops. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You just, it's not just like, and we've talked about, let me finish my thought and then go back to what I was saying. They're not just these drops that remove all elements of the song, basically all out, and just keep the beat or just keep one thing. These are songs that are finished. These are songs that build over time. They get progressively more advanced and more complicated in the measurement. And let me also say that I love minimal production. I love, we talked about this, and I really think Billie Eilish's When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go kind of start, like really started this trend in pop of like minimal production, doing a lot with a little and like taking that mainstream. I love doing that, but there's a difference between minimal production and unproduced. This is unproduced stuff here, because the moments that are supposed to hit the most, like in the middle of Overdrive, there's a drop. There are other parts of like, I haven't even gotten Occurrence yet. More on that in like 30 seconds.
Oh, but like, I can't wait to go in Occurrence.
Give me like 15 more seconds. There are parts right there where the album should have its crescendos. It should have its moments. Any dancehall record or anything that's trying to call back or pay homage to those kind of things is missing that big drop, and it's just not here. Don't tell me that Drake is somehow so expert of a pop star, but so dumb as to not like actually call back to what he's supposedly calling out to. It's a cop out.
Yeah, I mean, the way I hear it is, people who produced this record did their part, but Drake is not doing his part. If that makes sense. Like, it's one thing, like, as I know, he doesn't really make the beats or anything. He might go in and be like, ooh, this sounds good, and then just says, leave it like this and everything. But the lyrics are definitely unfinished. The drops, there's nothing there. It's very lackluster in the way it flows throughout it as well, but I still think, like, there was potential with it in that way. Like, there's potential sounds, there's potential things for hits and for other things that you can actually make sound good, but everything is just bland and it falls apart. And, like, you hear it the most with Currents. This is one of the worst pop songs I've heard in a long-ass time, and that's saying something. But I'm moving to your room. And this is definitely getting nominated for worst song on, I don't even know what 2022 version of Audio Face Award this is, but you know, the new Scorched Earth, yeah, Hawaii, yeah, yeah, all that shit. This is the squeaky bed song. Whoever put the squeaky bed in for the sound needs to never even step foot in a music studio for the rest of their lives. They can't even use like an analog, like the switch or anything for the rest of their lives. They can't even use a vacuum that has a dial. Like, you're gone. That's it. No more.
It's one of those corny Drake things. And some Drake must have heard it and he was like, perfect, I'm going to make that like a love song. And how about we switch up the tempo a little bit so it's more like that? It sounds like that SpongeBob Squeaky Boots episode where he's just like going up and down his boots and like he's just like making that noise the whole time. Shout out to Zhushu Gaze, who's like a memer who I think made that first or whatever. But like, it made that reference first at least. But honestly, if I'm trying to find something good about this album, I think you get to around Sticky, sort of, where you get Drake trying to do his best, sort of, I'm trying to give the younger people and rap some game, I'm trying to like reflect on who I am as an artist kind of stuff. That's where you almost get that kind of stuff throughout here. But damn, dude, do you have to go on a journey? Do you have to go on like a very bland journey to get to song 7? And like, and it kind of like, it kind of plays out through here. That may be like the third most streamed song. And I usually don't pay attention to stream numbers this much, but it's Drake, so I just kind of have to. You got people listening to Falling Back, and they're deciding, yeah, no, not feeling it. You got people listening to Jimmy Cooks, and they're like, okay, this, all right. And you got people listening to Sticky, they're like, okay, this is probably the most salvageable song out of this project.
Yeah, if I'm with two of them, then it's a threesome. If she alone, you know she a freak one. If it's an escort, it's a police one. King of the hill, you know it's a steep one. If we together, you know it's a brief one. Back in the ocean, you go, it's a deep one. Forgave niggas and they feelings. Lucky for y'all, we don't do civilians. You say I changed, I say that I millions. I did. The toughest act that follows back on tour. Off-road, made back, Pyrex, trap, Virgil came back through the boy.
I do want to get to... I mean, if you have any more, I talked about the album like top to bottom. So if you have any more comments about the song specifically, feel free to do that.
No,
but I
not
wanna...
really, because it's not worth my time, honestly.
Yeah,
it's not. Never mind.
To that point, on Audioface, what we pride ourselves on doing is uncovering what's good in popular music, what's good from like rising stars, and what's like a curveball kind of like musical artist that maybe you've heard of, maybe you haven't, but like they're still producing something that's worth interesting conversation. We take albums out of the mix every single week and have to like put them on the back burner because of fitting that format. Drake is unfortunately Drake, so he's like basically guaranteed a number one spot until he truly falls off. But I think what we're trying to say here on this podcast that we actually like prefer to hear when pop artists make leaps and make jumps and do something different. That being said, it's not just enough to be different. It's also enough to like sound good while you're doing it. And we talk about a lot of artists who we respect for doing something different in here, but like it just ultimately didn't land for X, Y, or Z reason. The insistence that Drake heads have that, oh, people just don't understand this record, that there's like some stuff that they are missing or they're going to get into eventually. They need to kind of slow down, right? Like,
yeah, no, that's not, come correct, that's not what it is. It's he made a really bland, generic album that isn't good, and he's been making these for a while now, of these bland, generic records, but now this is just a pivot, and it's slightly different than all his other bland, generic records, but it even shows more that he makes a pivot, changes his sound, and it's just as bland as ever. That's where, you know, there's a problem with what he's making.
Yeah. Yeah, I really couldn't have said it better myself. The ultimate issue is Drake fans are like Laker fans, all right? They don't really care that much about the game. They show up because they're used to the number one title, and they get pissy anytime it's obvious they don't have the number one title. I was thinking about this morning, and it's the perfect analogy. Because
very, very good
for the first time ever, I'm hearing Drake fans drop albums that I did not, or drop genre names that I did not know they knew about. I'm hearing all this other different, no, you see, you don't get it. What Drake is doing, he's something different. He's doing something against what all the pop artists are doing. One day you're going to understand. They sound like Audioface heads. They're just talking about the wrong guy. All right? They're talking about the wrong...
They made Drake to sound like he's fucking Burial or something, like, or Jai Paul, like revolutionizing pop music or some way.
Yeah, you're having hype beasts and like sneakerheads sound like goddamn Anthony Fantano over here going like, no, you don't understand. He's clear, like, this is the shit. Like, it is... kind of frustrating and kind of, I mean, like, it's hilarious to me, honestly, because finally even people are just admitting that, like, you can be a star and you can flop and your celebrityness and your, like, ability to chart or whatever can only get you so far. People are still going to like or hate your music. And all the people, all the reactions that Drake has had personally and that people have had in general, from buying signs at the club saying, change it off of Drake, to Drake having to like sit in the background going, no, it's okay. By the time you understand it, we'll be on to the next one. Like, Drake is so used to taking public L's. Like, honestly, I'll give it to him. At least he's not earning a noted little bitch here yet. But... there's a long...
I'm telling you, he's a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, so he's used to taking the mails like this. He's used to public, like, just public absolute discrimination, like, at a point where it's just beautiful.
Public humiliation is his, it's fetish
it's
now.
It's his kink. It's his
he's
kink,
into it, exactly. Yeah. Speaking of public humiliation as a kink, arbitrary scale this week is... Joe Biden falling from his bike. We're just gonna give this number, so if you want to, I go more is worse. That's all I'll say. More is worse.
More falls are worse. All right.
Yeah, I'm gonna give this a solid How many seconds are in 52 minutes? Let me do some quick math. 3,120. I'm going to give it 3,120 Joe Biden's falling off of his bike. It is... let me reiterate. It is that bad.
Damn, you trying to slam the old man like that? Like, we all understand he's not our president, but like... Damn, you just body slamming him back and forth like in that SpongeBob episode where you're just with Patrick just going, wah, wah, wah.
Listen, if we get gas around 525, we'll have a different conversation, Joe. Joe.
You do got to worry about gas, goddammit. Shut up.
But me trying to be a populist driving an electric vehicle over here. Just like, man of the people. Man of the people slash fuck y'all.
This is a solid... like 28 falls. Like a solid 28. No more, no less. He forgot to unclip. We've all been there, Joe. We've all been there. Myself included. It's not when I'm like 86.
86.
I'll be retired from riding bikes then.
All right, you ready for the next album? I can...
Oh, yeah.
Cool, go.
All right, so... next record, we have Supernova by Nova Twins. It is 11 songs, 30 minutes long. And this is one of those, you know, surprise records on Audioface that I love hearing, where I'm like, I don't know who the fuck these people are or anything, but I like it. And I was not expecting this at all. So, it's short. Sorry, go.
I was going to say that Nova Twins are a relatively new rock duo out of London. One is Iranian and Nigerian. The other one is Jamaican and Australian. And
very interesting mixes, and I love it.
Yeah, they're two punk rock black girls. They do basically metal music and mm-hmm. pop, and there's some rap kind of spoken word into the mix,
like,
and
it's alt rock in there too.
And it fucking owns.
It does. It's really good.
It's great.
Like, it's interesting because I did not know what the hell to expect when for this record. But the opening track of Antagonist, it just gets you like right into it of, oh, yes, I love this shit. Or it's like really hard rock, like industrial rock in the way, like the drum sound, and it kind of wraps around your head. And I love that stuff. You know, some older Metallica sounding and some like early Disturbed and everything too that I used to listen to, and I was like, okay, but I really like their vocals a lot, because that's an issue I have with heavy hard rock, metal, some other genres of rock. I have issues with the vocals of just being like too raw, or you can't understand it here or there. Even like some issues with Linkin Park sometimes, where I thought like Chester could get a little too raunchy with the vocals and whatnot. But I love the way that they do it, where it's just, it's that borderline of being hard, but it's enough to not be off-putting.
Yeah, it's definitely, there are some songs in here that I wouldn't start with Antagonist if I was just trying to like black pill someone into like metal music.
Oh no, don't, you know, start with that, but it's a great starter for the record, because you're just like, you start with a car crash, and just like, you fly out of the car, you stand up, and you're just like,
and to that point, there are songs in here that I would definitely use for that. So kind of like moving along, there's Cleopatra, KMB, Fire and Ice, which I think mm-hmm. continue this like harder kind of bent and tone to it. But then you also have songs like, I'm in the second half as well, where not only am I getting the metal influences in this, I'm kind of feeling like some of the early Muse from it.
I was gonna say, you definitely get a lot of Muse influences, like, or like Assassin era Muse, you know, the 2003 style Muse, which I freaking love.
Exactly, like A Dark Place from Somebody, a Dark Place for Somebody, that's
Somewhere Beautiful.
A Dark Place for Somewhere Beautiful. That's the way my monitor cuts things off sometimes, so I had to screw that up, but thank mm-hmm. you. That track is really reminiscent of, 2003 era Muse, like Black Holes and Revelations era shit. It kind of starts with this like bassy kind of grungy thing and then develops and builds into like alternative rock, and not just like modern alternative rock where it's like super bloopy and basically it's synth pop essentially, but like early 2000s alt rock, like still grunge influences, like really heavy, really good. Too. Yes.
Like, you got a lot of early, like that transition from grunge to alt rock, right? Where like, you get that early Muse, you get even like early Incubus, which still has it, like Nice to Know You off of Morning View.
And that's an era. It's an era that we love, and it had a lot of pop, you know, possibilities. Because again, like there's we kids like us, we weren't trolling like music forums when we were like 5 or 6 years old. 7 or 8 for me, a little bit somewhat, right? But like we were young kids, and so the reason stuff like Muse and Incubus got big was because it managed to transcend that level and become popular music. Like
some early Gorillaz too.
Yeah, I could
like
sort of see
2000s, like some of like M1A1 and some other tracks in there too.
Yeah, definitely the harder Gorillaz stuff. Right? Like, basically just M1A1 and like stuff like that. But they're harder influences as well. But it calls back to this era where this harder rock was mainstream and was stuff that really people liked. So I think it's really smart of them to do. This is a situation where I hadn't listened to their other projects, so I'm pretty sure they had a. Yeah, they had a Nova Twins EP that came out in 2016. They've had some other products that have come out here and there. But this is like one of their proper full releases. And I am really enjoying this curveball pick. Yeah, this is a really solid one.
It's great. And it's something that I thought that, you know, I wanted more and more artists to do of that early 2000s alt rock scene. Even like early Arctic Monkeys too, some influences of there as well, where it's that harder. Almost like some of their stuff can strip it back a little bit with some of the instrumentals, and then they can add on a lot of the synth influences and stuff too to make it really industrial sounding. So it's cool to hear that. But it's nice to have a group that makes the sound fresh, because you can easily make, you know, a throwback record, which we have gotten a few times on this Fine Established podcast, of people trying to make that sound, but it's not right for the decade that we're in, right? It's like they make it just too retro sounding, so it sounds Uncle Rocky, you know, and we get that. Like Foo Fighters is a prime example of that. Like they're very Uncle Rocky sounding, and it just wasn't, the latest projects really weren't doing it for us. And this is the first one in a long time, I think, that you get this harder sounding rock, harder sounding alt rock, metal that is new, it's fresh. There's a lot of different ideas, a lot of pivots that they can do with this. And the thing that I really like about it is it's short, it's 30 minutes, you know, 31 minutes really. And all the tracks, you know, the longest track is what, 3 minutes, 30 seconds, so not even 4 minutes. And within this genre and stuff, to make it sound fresh, you have to make them shorter. Because back in the day, you could make longer tracks with it, but the way it is now, because it's very overpopulated, oversaturated with that sound, because there's only a limited amount you can do with it, you have to make them shorter to be concise and get the point across, and they do that fantastically. It's a great record, really good record.
Yeah, it's an acknowledgement that in 2022, especially as a new artist, you have a limited amount of time to make your impact, so cut it down to your best work and make that impact. And 11 songs is a full record in any, by any space of the imagination, at any time period. The fact that they put something that feels this complete, I think it could like have a little more cohesion between songs and subject matter, but like I'm not really looking for that in this early on of a project from them. But I'm fully satisfied for that.
Mm-hmm. Same here. Arbitrary scale this week is is the amount of times that Biden falls off of bikes. More is worse. So
this episode is brought to you by Uncle Joe's tricycles.
Uncle Joe's trick, locally owned trick bikes.
Get your training wheels here.
they might cost you some loans. This is like 4 Biden falls.
Yeah, since I skewed the scale with my
you killed the man.
Yeah, since I skewed the scale with how many falls I gave Drake, I'll give this a solid 3 falls. 3 falls down.
Damn.
Less the better. So the closer I get to one fall, that's like a perfect record.
One fall is like miraculous.
Well, yeah, one fall is, this, keep in mind, this is Joe Biden's presidential health insurance. Like, he's got that good shit. All the lizard, all the best steroids you can offer a lizard.
All the stuff that, all of the medication that Trump took to somehow survive COVID. Right, final record review, album review of the day is In Amber by Hercules and Love Affair. It is 12 songs, 56 minutes long. It's interesting. I know you like Hercules and Love Affair quite a bit, right?
Quite a bit, yeah. They're his, kind of, because it's like a guy, essentially, who often collaborates with a number of different people. Various different songwriters, honestly. And there's, like, his tracks have just become kind of like club hits throughout England, especially throughout Europe. Based on like the self-titled debut, Hercules and Love Affair, down to 2017's Omnion, which is my favorite personally, for it's just no nonsense, like breakdown dance, like progressive house beats that like are really fun, really active. Some of my favorite tracks I've played for hours, on there. This record is very different in a Drake sort of way, where it is just like very, very different. And unlike in a Drake way, I like a lot of it, but there's still a lot of it that I wish was a little different.
Yeah, I was interested in hearing your opinion on, because I know that you really like Hercules and Love Affair. For me, it's hard because a lot of the Hercules and Love Affair I hear is in mixes or remixes of tracks, so I don't really, I haven't listened to like a proper record in probably 4 years, maybe something like that, so it's been a minute. And when I was listening to this record, I had to actually go back and listen to some like earlier records of his, because I'm like, oh wow, this is, why is it so slow? Did they just speed up the remixes? Because I don't remember these records anymore. So I was like, oh no, this is just a totally different pivot. And some of it is fantastic, and some of it I think could have gone away with, because my only complaint of this record is there are songs that drag on a little too much that you could do some editing to just kind of get around, or you put in something quicker or something, because the pacing of this record is just a little too slow for me, where that ruins an otherwise like record that I actually genuinely like. Like it started off with Grace. I think that was not a good opening track. I like the track. But it's just, you could have done something, you could have put One or even like Christian Prayers or Contempt for You as the opening track. Actually, I think Contempt for You would have been a very good opening track to get you in the record, because that's probably my favorite on that, but more on that later. But with Grace, it's just, you know, the beat and everything is like, your grace, you have the do-do-do-do-do-do-do thing in it. It's just at one level, right? It stays at one level and it just cruises for about 4 minutes. And for opening track, you don't necessarily want that, because you usually want it to get you kind of sucked into the record. It doesn't necessarily need to show you all of the record, right? You want to take it out to dinner first and get to know it and all of that. But you know, it just gives you all the meals at once, and you realize that you ordered too much food because your eyes are bigger than your stomach, and you're like, ah, shit. But
or even to me, like, because I agree with you, like, that thinks there should have been some alternative placement with the first song being Grace. But visually, kind of what you're saying is Grace is like an escalator going down, and an intro song should be an escalator going up, where like you can enter the museum and you see like, oh, there's a glimpse of that. Oh, there's a little bit of that coming up later. Ooh, I want to make sure I get to that. Kind of like your appetizer, your first reading
the
menu.
You don't land the plane to start. You take off first, dude. you don't go flaps up brake.
Okay, as a recent flyer of Ryanair, apparently they do things differently. I'm kidding.
Oh, you flew right there. I apologize.
More for that members content, okay? So we're gonna
I got a funny question for my members. Like, oh, so you're not gonna fly for Ryanair or Spirit? And I'm like, fuck no, I'm not gonna be a pilot for them. What the hell?
You mean
I have a career.
You mean JetBlue or JetBlue EU? Or like I don't know, I could see EasyJet getting right. Anyways, so you get to the song One, and I think that's the closest. Yeah, I think that's the closest you'll get to hey, I was told I'm getting Hercules in Love Affair, and you've given me Drake. I'm kidding. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. I'm take that back. If you disagree with me, at SW Suarez is my Twitter handle. So if you're upset, go there. But I think that's for people who expected a Hercules in Love Affair kind of jaunt. That is the closest thing you will get out of this record in particular. Everything else is this blend of a softer, more orchestral approach to dance music, which I don't like because, I mean, we can go back and maybe we should do like a 5-year update of the whole making classical music more mainstream conversation. But classical music, take away all of the unnecessary stuffiness of classical music. You're generally like sitting down in an orchestral kind of situation, and you're not like twerking and grinding and like ass shaking and shit like that, like you would be for dance music, right? And so the juxtapositions are a little bit difficult, but I think they work out kind of well. Contempt for You especially, I think, is a situation of that.
A really good track. Yeah, I think like I'm going into like One is a very, very good track. I love how it is, like the beat, everything, the vocals, if it's really, really good track. I wish that was the opening. Yeah, you have that interesting stuff of like mixing some strings, some orchestral stuff, even like I think I heard some harpsichords and stuff in some of it at some point. But yeah, on the third track, You've Won This War, you have some interesting stuff with it. But it's like, it's a cool pivot in the way that they layer it and stuff within it. But at the same point, like, I think some of it can be a little off-putting in a way. Like, you can make house and classical mix in a way. It's just no one really has done it too much. But there's a couple like random things I've heard on SoundCloud of like, this is what I want. This is always what I want. But it's like 45 seconds and then it disappears. And I have to scroll back and be like, wait, no, stop. No. I want it. Don't go away. And you know, that's been happening for the past like 15 years and no one still have done it that I want. But I think the closest you get is the middle record with Contempt for You of this beautiful track. Get this really cool thing of like industrial sounding alt rock-ish, but with like some orchestral stuff in the background and almost like Depeche Mode sounding vocals, which is really cool, and I really like that. So
like it calls back to old Hercules and Love Affair, like Blind, or you know, like my favorite songs off of Omnion. Like this is what Hercules and Love Affair can really do. And I thought that like he could definitely take that. It's really not that hard. I mean, like, I'm not going to produce it, so take that for what it's worth. But I would say you just take dance music as a construction overall. Don't screw with anything that. Just make the instrumentation kind of orchestral and keep that beats per minute. Just keep that pace. And I think that's pretty much all you need to do. Obviously there's tweaking around it to make that better. There's the choice you make in what like songs, what harpsichords, strings, wind, whatever you do to really make it feel like a more transcendent dance, electronic dance music piece.
Yeah.
But Yeah, ultimately you don't get that here. I will say the thematics are on point about this sort of partially being a religious awakening, but then it being very sacrilegious throughout, but kind of playing with both of those like dichotomies together. I think at least it keeps that sort of motif clear throughout the album, because it clearly kind of gives all the rings of a concept record. I just don't love the implementation of the concept musically that much, other than a couple songs, which are basically the ones we mentioned. The rest are pretty nice, and I think songs like Poisonous Storytelling are that great example of what you said in the beginning. Great idea, did not need to be 5 minutes long. Or you change that 5 minute song into a 3 minute, half minute song and give us a better drop. You have it in you.
I can get on board with that. Yeah, I can get on board with that. I think, yeah, as I said earlier, there's good ideas. There's a lot of different sounds that you can kind of pivot off of this. And I'm interested to see what they do with the next record moving forward. You have a long discographies of stuff that have been amazing hits the past 10 years. And it's cool to hear this pivot, but I want to see what you can do with this and some of your older sounds, kind of mix it together and see what that happens. See what you can do with that. Like, scrap together all of these different ideas and see if you can get one really cool, cohesive record of old Hercules in Love Affair and new Hercules in Love Affair, and fucking make me some disco house with classical music, god damn it. I want it. But it's a good effort. It's a valiant effort. I think it's a decent record, but there's a lot. It's left me wanting a lot more, which is a good problem to have.
I'd agree. Arbitrary scale this week. We do arbitrary scales every week on Audio Face because our review is our review, and what can further drive that point home than using a random part of news and applying a random number to it so you get confused about the meaning of a rating system to begin with, which brings us back to our point. This week it's going to be Joe Biden falling down off of his bike. More is worse. I give this, given what we gave the Drake album, which is literally off the charts of Uncle 3, Joe falling off his bike. 3,000 some change.
1,100.
and a couple more cents after that. This is inflationary periods, Joe. Every cent matters. Fucking cancel our student loans. And so this time it's going to be... Yeah, I'll give it 5. This is 5 falling downs. Not as good as...
This is a good, like, yes. 5-6.
Yeah,
five and a half. Like one fall where you clip, but you like catch the fall, but it's still embarrassing.
Yeah. Let's give it 6.5. It's 6 falls, but on like the half fall that would have been the 7th, you end up... No, it's 5 falls. But instead of a regular fall, which would have been the 6th, you fall, try to catch yourself, you clip and like twist your ankle. And so I'm just giving you an extra half because just like that's worse.
That counts
as 1.5 falls. Yeah.
All right. We can get on board with that.
Yes, and that's the new format. That was the show. Hope you enjoyed those 3 albums. If you're like, oh wow, that feels a little bit short or a little bit more, then we've got more. I've got some commentary from being at Primavera Firefest, but I've also got a couple. We've also got a Russian roulette of news stories that we're going to run through. Basically, just what were the biggest news stories, what we missed, or basically what we feel like talking about and just shooting the shit with. And again, this new segment's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a lot more podcast-heavy, like at the older episodes of Audio Face. We're just kind of shooting the shit around with these kind of things. So for that extra Audio Face, become a Syndicate 23 member at join.syndicate23.co. Prices are starting really cheap. You get a whole backlog of Audio Face content and a lot more exclusive stuff to come. So thank you very much. Sean, play us out while I blow my nose again.
All right. Thank you for listening to Audio Face. You can follow us at Audio Face Pod on all social medias. You can go to youtube.com/AudioFacePod for our YouTube clips. Go ahead, comment on those because we love comment levers. We love it. We love your organics. It's great to see all that stuff. Like the smile review that I posted was really, really cool to see all of the interaction that we got with that. I want more of that. I need to look at the Drake stuff because I just want the fucking fire fest in the comments of stuff in there. I want it, and I want it now. And you can follow me, SW Suarez, on all the social medias. If I trust you, you can follow Dan from at Dan from the internet on Instagram, at Dan from the web on Twitter. And Yeah, thank you for listening to Audio Face, and bonus content next, so fucking subscribe to us and become a Sick at 23 member. Do it.
The mic. Cheers. 'When I get sued again and this gets audited, they're gonna use this note where it says edit out nose break to say you were doing cocaine live during the show. It's like, no, I was blowing my nose.
It's like, I wish I was, but no.
Bro, you know how awesome the news segment would be if we had coke.
Oh god, we would get sued every week.
Me running in with an old newspaper, completely irrelevant to anything we're doing. Guys, 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 I got a great idea.
You go,
I was like, too long for me to read. Happy that happened for you, or sorry that happened for you. Okay.
Smiley face, sad face, question mark, thumbs up, send.
The only thing I'm jealous of you having an iPhone of is that I can't just let's play 8-ball people I don't want to talk to.
Forgot about that. Let's play 8-ball.
Let's play 8-ball. Dad, I don't think this can work out anymore. Let's play 8-ball.
Play like 6 rounds.
Dad, I want a divorce. Let's play 8-ball.
Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about music news and culture that mostly matters. I'm Sean.
I'm Dan.
This is episode 232 of this fine established podcast, off of our little hiatus. We got some doozies. We got some records to review. We got some opinions. We got things to be said. We have 3 records that we will review. We have Honestly Nevermind, surprise album by Drake. More on that later. We have Supernova by Nova Twins. Extreme, more on that later. And then we have In Amber by Hercules and Love Affair. And three very different albums. And lots of opinions on said records and everything, and some sprinkled news stories and all that. So for all you fine Audio Face folks, and yeah, it feels good to be back. How are you, Dan? How was Spain?
Oh God, I'm great to be back with you, Sean. Great to be back here in the United States. Just kidding. Spain was Spain.
You gotta get your escape, dude. Escape passport.
Yeah, Spain and the other parts of, well, I can't even really say Europe anymore, Spain and England, where I went on my trip, were all perfectly fine. Ooh, ooh, God save the ooh. So everything was totally fine. It was a really great trip, and I'll definitely be talking about it more in the member section, where we're also going to do a little bit of a flippy thing here. You know, we've been doing Audio Face now 5 years now, so we're just changing up the format. From now until I decree otherwise, the main episodes are just going to be 3 album reviews and some singles. And then in the members portion, we'll do news, which will allow us to be a little bit more raunchy. And we'll do any other like bonus things, in addition to bonus albums. We don't have any bonus albums for you this week, but we did have Foles. And there's another artist you mentioned as well that released this week that we didn't have a chance to listen to.
Perfume Genius.
Perfume Genius, that's right. So those are on the bubble for us to review either in the main episode next week or in members content later. So definitely make sure you're subscribed.
Definitely want to review those records for sure.
Yeah, join.syndicate23.co to make sure you are subscribed. Pardon, Sean and I are both getting over minor colds. I for me, not COVID-related, but like, so that's what makes us a little bit more stuffy. But yeah,